All right, welcome back to the Fresno Grizzlies pregame show on 1430 KYNO. I'm Scott Armstrong, and it's a pleasure for me to speak with Wally Backman, one of the greats of the game, a World Series champion, and a very distinguished professional baseball manager, now manager of the Las Vegas 51s. Wally, thanks for taking the time this afternoon. I am curious to find out about your earliest baseball influences. I mean, obviously, you've given your life to the game, but in terms of coming up as a player, who were some of the people that you still think about and the advice of whom you still think about when you're managing today?
Well, you know, it goes back to my dad as a kid, you know, and the things that I do as a manager. You know, I was fortunate enough to play for some of the great managers. You know, my first manager was Torre. I played for Davey Johnson, Jim Leland, Lou Piniella. So I played for some great managers over the course of my career. But you take little bits and pieces, I think, from each one of them. You learn different things from each one of them, from how to control your clubhouse to how to run the game to how to run your pitching staff. And then you use your own pieces of yourself, I think, and try to put it all into one.
Speaking of Davey Johnson, who, of course, has now decided that he's ready to take a break after doing so well with the Nationals in his final big league managing job, and I'm sure you get a lot of questions about what it was like to play for him.
You know, Davey was a player's manager without a question. You know, he's a very smart baseball man. Was really the first guy that started really using the computer a lot and figuring out his matchups that way. And you know, everybody basically does it today, but Davey was one of the first guys. But Davey was definitely a player's guy. And his expectations of players was always high, which a lot of the other managers that I played for as well. You're expected to win at the major league level, and I was fortunate to be able to play with some really good teams, be able to win a world championship and go on and play with other teams that went to the playoffs. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I a lot of credit goes to the manager. The guys that I played for, I learned a lot from each one of them. And like I said, I try to take a little bit of a piece of all those guys with you.
In terms of today's baseball, you mentioned that numbers and technology and sabermetrics are more part of the game than ever before. Exactly how far has the Mets front office taken it in terms of instructing their minor league coaching staffs? Okay, well, as opposed to the way we used to manage minor league teams, now we want to emphasize this or that. Is there a lot of that going on, or are you largely left to your own devices to decide how things should go each and every day down here?
Well, with the players, I have pretty much full rein on them. You know, we have organizational philosophies, like our hitting philosophies and things like that, you know, to where we believe that if you see a certain number of pitches in the course of a game, you're going to be able to get to the opponent's bullpen earlier, and early enough to where you're not getting to their setup and closer guys. So, you know, our philosophies are to see a lot of pitches, but to attack pitches early in the count that are very hittable pitches, so which enables, I think, the hitting philosophy to what you're trying to accomplish. I think is you're trying to scare the pitcher out of the strike zone. He knows that you're going to attack the early in the strike zone, but yet you're not going to swing at bad pitches. For instance, you know, especially at the lower levels, we will have guys when they can recognize breaking balls early in the count, we want them to take it. And I think that that's a great philosophy because percentage-wise tells you that they don't throw as many strikes with their breaking balls as they do with their fastballs. So, you know, the philosophy works if it's used in the right sense and you don't go overboard on the philosophy where you're talking about taking pitches. There's a reason why you're taking pitches, and I believe it's because you're scaring the pitcher out of the strike zone, which creates the 2-0 counts, the 2-1 counts, the 3-1 counts. So you're attacking early in the at-bat, and you end up seeing a lot of pitches that way.
What was your approach as a hitter, and is it any different than what you tell your hitters now when they seek your advice? I know you, of course, get a hitting coach on staff and all that,
right.
but all the same, is what you tell your players in terms of hitting philosophy now a lot different from the way you went to the plate?
No, not really at all. You know, I as a hitter, I was trying to attack the fastball, and I was taking the breaking ball early in the count. I always hit first or second in the lineup, so it's a little bit different than what you would tell your 3, 4, 5 guys, which are your run producers. Those are the guys that are supposed to drive in the runs for you. But, you know, my job was to get on base. I think the 1-2 hitters are setting up your 3-4-5 hitters. So if everything's in sync, the way you make your lineup dictates who your run producers are and who your speed guys are. And sometimes you don't have to have a speed guy at the top of the order if he's a real high on base percentage guy. But no.
Yesterday's game, definitive win for your club over Fresno. One of the key plays in the biggest inning for your team was a bunt for a base hit by Anthony Ceritelli. Is the bunt completely dead in baseball, or is it still alive and well?
It's alive and well on certain teams with certain individuals, but it is kind of a dying part of the game. I think it's an asset, especially for speed guys. You know, Eric Young Jr. that's in the big leagues with the Mets, we'd go out on the backfield just about every day and bunt 50 to 100 baseballs. So it's not completely dead. It's just trying to get some of those players, the speed guys, to utilize their speed. I bunted. I know the year in 86 when we won a World Series, I had 26 bunt hits that year. And I hit 320. If I don't use the bunt, I probably hit 280. So, and if you look at the statistics on it, you know, I bunted 750 or something. You're not going to hit 750. So it's definitely an asset. It does a lot of things for you. It draws the infield in. We teach it in our organization with the guys that can run. I think it's an asset. I think it puts pressure on the defense.
Final question for you this afternoon. In your mind, who was the toughest competitor you ever played with, excusing yourself from the answer, and the toughest competitor you ever played against?
Wow, the toughest I ever probably played against was when I first came to the big leagues, and that would have been Pete Rose. The toughest competitor that I played with, there's a lot of them. Lenny Dykstra comes to mind. You know, Keith Hernandez was a huge competitor. But the guy probably that I played the longest with, I'd probably have to say it was Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, Lenny, truly a guy who gave everything on every play. Wally, thank you very much for your time, and best of luck this season to you and the Las Vegas Ball Club.
Absolutely, thank you.
All right, that was Wally Backman. We have more after this.